Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. We've been on a hiatus, man, but we back. And unfortunately, the beloved Bears ain't doing so good, man. We're on another losing streak. Matt Nagy's seat is an inferno right now. It's fully engulfed in flames. And I'm surprised Virginia McCaskey didn't stroll down there in a hover round and fire Matt Nagy right there in the locker room, man. But here we are, man. Bears lost the game 17-9 to the Minnesota Vikings. A game we held Kirk Cousins to 87 passing yards. Devin Cook to 3.2 yards a carry, no touchdowns. And Justin Jefferson to 4 catches and 47 yards. And we lost. We lost. Why? Why do we lose? The why. What is the why, bro? We scored 9 points.
The why.
We know the why, bro. The why is preceded by 3 letters. N-A-G. N-A-G-Y. Nagy. You are the why. You're the reason why we're sitting in a situation right now. And Ryan Pace hired you. So we're just going to jump off into it, fellas, man. I'm pissed. I even missed the spaces. I was just like tweeting up a storm. I didn't see y'all starting the spaces. I was attacking everybody.
He was on a rampage last night.
I was on a rampage last night. So y'all can touch on some of that, man. But I'm not happy, man. Eric B and Rakim, yeah, bro. I need something. I was listening to Mobb Deep earlier.
Yeah, because we need juice. We need juice. We need something to infuse this goddamn team, man, because I don't know what the fuck it is. If it's not Justin Fields holding the ball too long or thinking too much, you know, when on being indecisive on when to, you know, get rid of the ball, they get within the 20s. It's the damn offensive line jumping off sides. It's the holding penalties. It's whatever it was, man. We got into the red zone 4 times last night and shot ourselves in the foot each and every time, and all we did was move backwards. You know, I don't know if it's Nagy's system that got Justin thinking too much, but as you can see, when they went no huddle, Justin was just calling the plays and just letting it rip. It looked so natural for him.
You know who you do that to? Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Believe it or not, yeah.
Yeah, it just looked so natural for him. You know what I'm saying? He was letting it rip. And of all the passes Demir Byrd caught, he dropped a very easy one. Easy one that hit him dead in the hands.
Two hands. He had 2 hands on it. You got to pull that down.
Stone hands.
You're a professional wide receiver, bro.
Stone hands.
That's what you're paid to do.
Not to mention his muff.
I was going to say, he
I could have kicked him in the nuts for that one last night. Fucking, man, don't get me started. I could have kicked him square in the dick last night after that one, dog.
Hey, you know,
that killed all momentum.
The funniest part, though, is we're going to get into that later, but the Tevin Jenkins dust up. At the end, I noticed Demir Byrd.
Try to come and get a little punch. You see that? Try to come over top and sneak somebody. That was funny as hell because he tried to sneak that in though, but my man just gave him that look like
get the fuck out of here.
Straight up, he tried to come up over top and throw a blow. My man just looked at him like, man, get this little motherfucker out of here,
man.
You're
the smallest dude in the NFL.
Speaking of small, goddamn, Daz Newsom got tossed. Man, he got tossed like how you would throw a 6-year-old in the bed. Like, get your ass in the bed. That was one of them. Like, damn.
It reminded me of the video. You know the video of the dude like picking a kid up and slamming him on the lemonade table.
Yeah.
Man, you gotta tweet that. You gotta find that video.
It should be no grown man getting handled like that in the NFL, bro. At all.
Grown man too. He ain't even like.
Like, damn. Like, this is a grown man you throwing around. He threw him like a toddler. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, one of, you know, in wrestling, how you do them hip tosses?
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
one of them. But it was just like he just ragdolled them real quick. Like, ooh, little motherfucker. Like, Jesus.
Dad's gonna come on steroids next year, bro. He's gonna be like, nah,
he gonna have to Hulk up or something, man.
Go take Roy.
He need to go holler at old Royd head, man. Fury. And go get some of his Balco stash.
Something, man.
His beef roids and shit.
Whatever. GH.
Yeah,
some of the cream.
Fury.
Some of the cream you rub
clear.
On your booty.
Yeah. Fury fucking head done expanded like Barry Bonds and shit. Like, dog, what the fuck is you taking?
Rub
straight
this
up.
Cream on your booty right quick.
His glutes.
Oh my god, man! But Matt Nagy, man, he was calling plays last night because you know the whole offense. I mean, the whole coaching staff were out with COVID. You know, so you know he was up to his usual stuff, man. Not running the ball enough, asking Justin Fields to be a pocket passer, and some of it is that, dude. Like when Justin's being indecisive, for one, his receivers aren't getting open. I don't like to use PFF for a lot of stuff, and everybody knows there's a few things I use them for. But they got the Bears ranked 32nd in wide receivers getting open in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, and to me, I'm like, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
So guys aren't getting open. Half the time, the line isn't blocking. His coach isn't calling like good plays, which is probably why some of the wide receivers aren't getting open.
See, this is the problem. This is the only problem that I have with that, right? Like PFF will put that out, and it'll be okay. The wide receiver's not getting open; they're not getting separation. But supposedly, you have fast wide receivers. Can they run routes? Are they just bad route runners?
Yes.
Are they terrible? Are they herky jerky out there?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the problem. Because to me, a lot of it goes to the scheme, the play calling. Can you scheme guys to get open? You should be able to get – bro, there's no way. I look at the Bears' offense week in and week out, and what I see is everything is difficult. It's a plotting, just very difficult. Everything is hard to do for everything. It doesn't matter if
from
it's
– From the alignment.
Hiking the ball, bro.
Yeah, from the alignment to the pre-snap, read, all that shit is ridiculous.
Send the guy in motion. That's hard to send the guy in motion.
Facts.
Everything is so difficult to do. And to me, like you said, you made mention of it, you know, Justin Fields, he's thinking too much. It's clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the same stuff that happened to Trubisky. Now, I'm not saying – You know, I'm not absolving Trubisky from his inadequacy, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
of his shortcomings,
you can clearly see, mm-hmm. you can clearly see that Justin Fields is thinking too much, and Matt Nagy has too many thoughts going in his head, and that's a problem, bro. That's a problem. That's a major problem.
He's not giving him the ability to just go out there and play.
Right.
Clear your mind and just play.
Right. Be comfortable. Yeah. It's about comfort. It's about rhythm. And it's about momentum. That's what it is. You know, tempo. Like think about it like this, a pitcher. I've seen pitchers like remember when, you know, a pitcher will get on a streak where he's striking people out or he's pitching a no-hitter. Dude, he's working fast.
Yeah.
He ain't paying attention to the batter in the batter's box. He ain't waiting for him to get his swing together. He's moving at his speed. Mm-hmm. And once he gets his speed down and he starts getting the comfort, you know, a level of comfort, then he starts throwing the ball and he's more comfortable.
Right.
And that's the problem that we don't have with Justin Fields. He's never, ever been comfortable in a game. I don't think.
That's been Nagy's problem. And I posted it kind of blew up a tweet. I was like, I apologize to Mr. Trubisky. Then I said, Nick Foles had every right to yell at Matt Nagy on the sideline. But that's what Nick Foles was talking about. He was like, every time they had rhythm,
Here he comes fucking
Nagy
it up.
Would change out the whole freaking offense. He'd be like, oh, take Allen Robinson out, put Cordell Patterson in, take David Montgomery out, put Ryan all in. And he was like, no, you got to go, 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 go. We got him on the ropes. Go, 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 go. You don't stop. You don't change out the personnel. You go, go, go. And Matt Nagy never does that. He never does that. And it doesn't matter who's the quarterback. It doesn't matter who's in there, dude. It's the same thing over and over. Nobody has succeeded under this man. Nick Foles was a freaking Super Bowl MVP. He come here look like crap. Andy Dalton was at least a serviceable quarterback. He come here look like crap. Justin Fields had a high pedigree. He comes here looking like crap. it's him. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, people are like, oh, well, it's this guy. Like, bro, I think we've seen enough, especially as Bear fans, that we know exactly what's going on, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
It ain't no mixed words about it. I mean, it is what it is at this point. You know what it is.
And it's not like you said, it's not, we won't absolve Mr. Trubisky of his fault. Like, Mr. Trubisky struggled throwing the ball down the field. That was one of his flaws. But he wasn't as bad as people thought he was. Same with Nick Foles. They have their flaws, and you have to understand this is their flaws. Matt Nagy almost seems to say, I know my quarterback flaws, and I'm still asking him to do it anyway. Like, you know Nick Foles isn't mobile, bro. So don't ask him to stand behind a five-man protection because he can't buy time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know that. As a play caller, you have to know that, okay, my guy can't do this. Mm-hmm. What can he do? Okay, let me try to do this. But he it's like he just doesn't do it. I don't know why. Arrogance, stupidity. I don't know, bro. They need to let him go. I know they can let him go early and start an interviewing camp. They just need to do it. Put him out of his misery, bro. Everybody know he's fired, bro. What's the point of keeping him?
Well, I don't know. And again, you know, Jackson, and really, I mean, at this point in time, that's all. Fuck, we don't know. I don't know why he's still there. But, you know, okay, after last night, we were mathematically eliminated. Why is he still here? And we should have woke up to reports of this morning him being fired. However, these dumb motherfuckers, even if they do fire him at the season's end, they're going to botch. It's like they're not caught up with the fucking times. Because now it's a new rule that is in place where you can interview a coach if you've already let the coach in place go, number one, or you already informed them that they will not be back at season's end. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you've already given him that notion, which they haven't. Okay. And the crazy thing is if they haven't, that's probably because they're still mulling, making their decision on Ryan Pace and what the fuck they going to do with him. Is Ryan
Pace? They got scared, bro. They got scared.
Right. So they still haven't made a decision yet, even though we know what the fucking decision is going to be at season's end. Both the motherfuckers is gone. Yeah. Well, I take this back. Matt Nagy is gone. Ryan Pace may go to another position, possibly. Or he may just be gone altogether. However,
he's gonna get demoted.
He's not gonna get demoted. He'll probably go to Ted Phillips' role. Possibly. I don't know if he's an accountant though. So you know what I'm saying? Possibly. We don't know, but we know he's not gonna be the NFL of player ops. We know that ain't happening. We know that, so he's probably going to be gone. And the fucked up thing about it is that they're going to let all this fucking time go past while Jacksonville is already in the works of fucking getting Byron Leftwich. And then you got the other candidates that's pursuing other opportunities. And then
Giants available too.
See what I'm saying? And then come late fucking January, when motherfuckers are starting to get hired and shit, the Bears is just going to be starting their search. And picking over the fucking scraps, unless they got somebody in the tuck that we don't know nothing about, you know, front office wise, general manager wise.
I doubt it.
Which everyone doubts.
It's stupid.
And it's just like,
if it is, it's stupid.
Yeah, and it's the full on blown repeated circle. Get this motherfucker out of here, man. At the end of the day, I don't understand what you holding on to him for. At this, he looks defeated every fucking press conference that he goes and he sits down and talks at. He looks defeated. He has these big ass bags up under his eyes. His eyes are bloodshot red. He looks like the Eminem cartoon character. He looks like the Slim Shady cartoon character with no hair when he sits up there at the fucking mic. Bloodshot red eyes, big ass bags up under his eyes and shit. And he just looks defeated, like.
Because they know he's fired, bro. Like
he's the walking dead.
Fans are chanting, fire Nagy at his games, at his son's games.
And he takes out his own frustrations on the players and he deactivates them.
I'm telling you, and I've been saying that for weeks, bro.
Jalen Johnson didn't have COVID. Sorry, motherfuckers. I'm sorry to tell y'all, he didn't have COVID. Now all of a sudden he magically got COVID after after that interview that he did on that podcast with Hodge came out. Right. And Adam Johns, when he said, players in here, you know, we got some cats who done mailed it in, some coaches who done mailed it in, but I'm going to fight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And now he's deactivated for COVID.
I've been saying this since day one. Since day one. You look at he puts people on this. The same thing with Akeem Hicks last week. I don't think Akeem Hicks was hurt last week.
Nope.
He wanted to play against the Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But he came out and he talked about, you know, I'm probably going to be leaving. You know what I mean? And he gave that spiel in his soliloquy and his little media session. And then all of a sudden, oh, he's hurt now. Like this is the MO. This is his MO. You know, Marquise Goodwin says something, you know, about the play calling after the first game and how we let Jalen Ramsey sit on everything and do what he wanted to do. We didn't call anything different. Okay, now you don't get no balls thrown your way. You don't get no run. You don't get no play time. You know what I mean? Anybody that says something, he doesn't. That's his way of trying to punish them in some way or shape or form. And he's been doing it forever. Nick Foles, that's supposed to be his boy. And then, you know, Nick Foles yelled at him on the sideline.
I'm dicing up the threes.
Nick Foles ain't never been on the field again. Since then, he ain't never been on the field again.
Hey,
none this season. There's no fucking way in hell you going to tell me that Nick Foles ain't better than Andy Dalton.
He let that man sleep on his couch. He let him drive his car, and now all of a sudden he in the doghouse.
Yeah, and stayed in there and never came out.
There's no way he's not better than Andy Dalton.
Well, that's what we said. We were like, why sign Andy Dalton when you already got Nick Foles?
It's the same.
I didn't understand that.
Because you could have saved that $10 million.
Because he was pissed at Nick Foles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it was. He was pissed at Nick Foles.
Those comments to Brian Greasy, remember that?
Yeah. Yep. So this is his MO. Anybody that speaks out, says something, you know, he's you know, that's his MO. That's what he does. But to me, it sabotages the team. And I've said it time and time again, and people get mad at me. Why would he sabotage? Why would he?
Nah, you're right.
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. No, he's not a jerk. He's a good guy. People always say that. He's a good guy. He's got a family. Bro, I said it in Spaces yesterday. I don't care if he has a family. That don't make you a good guy just because you got a family. You know, how many people destroy their families every single day? You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? This guy puts himself and he puts his system above winning at the end of the day. And that's been a problem. He sabotaged the quarterback by not letting him, you know, earn this job. He sabotaged players. He's benched players. He's phased people out of the game, out of game plans, all of that stuff. This is what he does. That doesn't make him a good guy, man. That makes him a jerk.
Hey, the Iceman had a family.
Straight up.
The Iceman, the Hitman.
Absolutely.
He had a family.
They all got families.
Yeah. Mafia members got families, and they murder people every day.
Bro. They all got families. It's just, you know, I hate when people say, why would he do this? Why would he do that? First and foremost, again, you got to know how the inner workings of sports go. Yeah. You know, most of you saying you don't understand it is probably because you probably never played past fucking Pop Warner if you played that. Everybody want to say, oh, well, you did. Just because you played doesn't mean. No, it means I know a little more on how shit work. We all do, right? We know how shit work. So on a professional level, anytime you throw somebody under the bus, and this should go back all the way back to high school. You say something the coach don't like, guess what? You're not playing. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're not going to play. That's from Pop Warner on up. You say something the coach don't like, you throw some info out there that people, you know, are looking at the coach a certain way. Any way you make the team or the coach look bad, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. Right? That's taught from an early age. And now you got players that are speaking out against Nagy because they know you're not going to be here. All right, you ain't gonna be here.
And not only that, but the players, the guys who are speaking out, the guys who had something to say, these are guys who are in 1-year deals. These are guys who are who are looking to get paid. So when you have a situation and you have a coach that has clearly dropped the ball on this entire season and jacked up their stats, jacked up their numbers, messed them all up, right? They got a ton. Bro, the Bears have a ton of bad tape out there, right? Mm-hmm. The whole season is just filled with bad tape. So when players are going to look to get paid and get a new job or whatever, they can look at Nagy and say, this is why I'm not going to get paid what I want to get paid because of how you handled the whole season. So you got guys speaking out and you got guys saying stuff. Jimmy Graham, he was doghoused. You know what I'm saying? All these guys are doghoused because they spoke out. And the reason they're speaking out is because, hey, man, I still need to get paid. This is a important season for me. You know, and you let it go by the wayside just because you wanted to have your way about situations.
Yeah, his ego, man. his ego is his undoing. They say before after the pride comes the fall, right? And this is what we're seeing right now, dude. That ego,
yeah,
is the reason why he's in this position, man. But like we were saying a little bit earlier, it all starts from the top. Mm-hmm. It all starts from the top because the Chicago Bears ownership, the owners aren't going to sell the team. I know fans like to say that, sell the team. They're like, why would you sell the team? This thing makes you billions of dollars. I'm not selling that. Right. My daddy started the NFL. I'm not selling the team. But so you got to let that go. The issue is we got Ted Phillips, who is an accountant, the president of the Chicago Bears. He's not a football guy. So we don't have a football guy, so we had to hire Ernie Accorsi to hire a GM. Okay, fine. But now you got the GM, and he doesn't answer to anyone. He basically, and George McCaskey says, I don't meddle. So you basically got Ryan Pace running roughshod. And
he's doing whatever he wants.
This is why we hired Matt Nagy after he lost a playoff game to Tennessee. Maybe if you have a president of football, maybe Tony Dungy. Let me just throw a name out there. He says, well, Ryan, did you just see that playoff game versus Tennessee Titans? This guy basically lost the game. Mm-hmm. Might not want to hire him as a head coach. He's pass heavy with Chicago team. We got to have an identity. We play defense. We run the ball. He doesn't fit that identity. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Trubisky probably plays better off bootlegs and play actions and running the football. That's the kind of quarterback we got. We ain't got Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You stop these decisions being made. Maybe you don't even draft Mitch Trubisky because you got a president and you don't have the GM go rogue and draft a player that the coach don't even know about, bro.
Absolutely. Like
people got to remember, this man signed Mike Glennon to $18 million guaranteed.
And thought it was a legit move.
Yeah.
With the straightest face.
Then moved up one spot the same offseason and drafted Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. and his head coach didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. That should have got him fired alone. Them two moves should have got him fired before the Bears even played their first game.
That the first move, yeah, but the second move, I could care less that he moved up and drafted a quarterback because everybody knew John Fox was he was just sitting there. He was, you know what I mean? John Fox was the leftover product, and that's the way it works. Whenever a new GM comes in, he'll give the coach one season. If magic happens, then okay, we'll talk about.
But this goes back to the dysfunction, right?
I get what you're saying, but nobody he wasn't gonna, if he felt the desire to get a quarterback, he didn't give a jack what John Fox thought about the quarterback because he knew John Fox was out of there after 1 year, period. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I get it. But
why would you converse with him on it?
This is when you come back to the organization, right? They hire Ryan Pace, who's a young GM. You didn't have a president. So to balance that, you hired John Fox, an older coach, to pair with him. And you basically kind of made him take John Fox. He didn't really want John Fox. And so because he didn't have anyone to check with, he decided, I don't want John Fox. I'm a fire John. I'm going to get a quarterback. And then I'm going to get a quarterback, and then I'm going to find a coach. When in reality, what you should do is an actual functional organization, you hire a GM, let him hire the coach he wants, and exactly. then they go get the quarterback that they both agree on.
I agree.
So then you bring Matt Nagy in. He says, yeah, yeah, I like Mitch. Yeah, 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 give me the job. I like Mitch. And after 2 years, he's like, yeah, I really don't like Mitch. You know, as soon as Mitch start not doing what he wanted to do, now we see everything. Hey, mm-hmm. do this. It makes no sense. So now he doesn't like Mitch. Now he wants Mitch out of there. Mm-hmm. So if you're a functional organization, and this is going to be crucial for what they do now, because if they're going to fire Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they damn sure better make sure the guy they hire and put in place likes Justin Fields.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the concern that I have. You know what I mean? Do you have a guy who wants to have this guy as his coach? You know what I mean? Or as his player? That's the problem. Because like you said, you know, that's organizational dysfunction, and I get it 100%. Because there's never been a situation where you pair up some guys or you hire a coach before you hire a GM and then expect it to work out. Look at the Cowboys situation. I talk about it all the time. And Jerry Jones went and hired Mike McCarthy and said, you know what? We got Kellen Moore as our coordinator. We're good with that. You don't need to worry about hiring no coordinator. Now, I'm just being honest. If his job is on the line, is he comfortable knowing that, hey, Kellen Moore was here before me? I got put into this role with him. No, you want your own guys. If I want to make this happen, I want my own guys. I want my own draft picks. so on and so forth. And that's what usually happens with when GMs come in. They flip the whole roster over because they want their own situation going down.
Mm-hmm. So with the new regime possibly coming in, I want all the Bears fans to understand that there probably will be some casualties on some fan favorites, okay? And that's the honest to God truth. And I'm not talking about Akeem Hicks. You know, I'm not talking about Eddie Goldman. You know, the obvious suspects that probably won't be back. I'm talking about some shockers. It may be a possibility that Tariq Cohen don't come back. It may be a possibility that Eddie Jackson may not be a part of this team no more. It may be a strong possibility that some key pieces may get moved in order to build, because as of right now, folks, this is a total rebuild, okay? The only one that will possibly have, that's a sacred cow that will remain, is Justin Fields. Nothing outside of him. That includes Khalil Mack. That includes Quinn. It's a possibility that guys may be getting moved and shipped out of here.
Right.
It's a strong possibility that may happen to parlay some picks for the future.
Just remember what Ryan Pace did when he got here.
Absolutely. Total. It was a total reboot and re-gut, you know? Yep. So it's a possibility that may happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a GM, you like Robert Quinn's value is high as hell right now.
Yeah.
He's going to break Richard Dent's sack record. Shout out to him. You like somebody say, hey, I'll give you a second right now for Robert Quinn and you a new GM.
Gone.
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 Mac, I'll give you a first for him. Gone.
Gone.
It's going to hurt. But when you bring in a new regime, man, that's very likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. That's the reality of it.
They might stay. Get rid of Ryan Pace.
There's going to be some stuff that switches up, man. Definitely. You're going to see some guys leaving. We know the common names. You know, we know Danny Trevathan, and we know Akeem Hicks, and we know, you know, some of those guys. But, you know, Cody White here, he's one.
Yeah.
He's one that could be on the chopping block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, because his guaranteed money runs out. Same thing with Cohen. Cohen's not even a shock to me. Like, you coming in, you like, his guaranteed money is over with anyway. We need cap space, cut him.
And he ain't played 2 years?
Yeah, he played in 2 years. He got hurt in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that was before COVID, wasn't it? Right. Was it the COVID season? Was it? Yeah, he got landed on.
Yeah, the COVID season he got.
It was the first 3 weeks of the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's almost 2022.
Yep.
You know, he ain't played since 2020. Actually, yeah, it's been almost 2 years. So yeah, a lot of those guys can be gone, man. One thing I don't like is that, and I see a lot of sports people, smart sports people, who are defending Justin Fields. You starting to see the meatheads come out, man.
Oh, of course, they couldn't wait.
You starting to see the meatheads? They coming out. Oh, he's awful. Oh, he sucks. And I've seen like actual sports people with blue check marks like going at it with trolls, dude, because they know Justin Fields is good and he's in a horrible position. I think I put one in the DMs. Dude got he works for SEC Network and he was like, "What the hell are y'all talking about?" You know, it's a lot of just buffoons out here, man. You see this guy? He's a rookie. He's flawed. The things that like DeVore was talking about Justin Fields. We knew these coming into the season. He hold on. Sometimes he hold on to the ball too long.
Right.
All security. He tries to make plays when he's out there. You know why he does that? Because he's been a dominant athlete at every level that he's ever played in his life. So he thinks that, hey, I can be Superman and I can just run away from defender and throw the ball 60 yards down the field in the triple coverage and that's that. And he's learning that he can't, right? And so when you see these mistakes, when you see him getting stripped, when you see him getting sacked, when you see him, you know, taking a sack, when you see him throwing sometimes, it might be a risky pass. That's what it is. He's been so dominant that he's adjusting to the NFL. You have to go out there and play and realize that you can't do what you did in college and high school. You have to see it. And you see the talent jump off, but you see a lot of people that don't understand shit, dude. They just say stupid shit all day on the internet. The guy's a rookie playing behind a porous offensive line that has COVID and injuries. A coach who's a buffoon. We already know that. Wide receivers who can't catch. Tight ends
and midgets. Midgets.
Midgets. What did they say? He kept the midgets.
The midgets.
Little people.
Man, bro. Ton of them out there. We got a lot of them, too. They just running all over the place. You know what I mean?
Oopaloopas.
Yeah.
A ton of Oompa Loompas.
It's sad, bro. It's sad.
That's why
sad,
I said in spaces. I said in spaces last night when man, Olave is going to be gone, man. No, he's not. Olave will be there when we pick in the second round. It's not 32 teams need wide receivers, okay? Out of the 32 teams, I'd probably say about roughly, if in the first round, probably four that may need some wide receiver help. The Jets. And the the Jets, the Lions.
Lions need everything.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, damn. Name another team that made that's in dire need and needs wide receiver help outside of us. It ain't that many. So that's why I said there's going to be wide receivers to be had in the later rounds, okay? Chris Olave is the same build, same exact build. Is Darnell Mooney the same exact build? They're not big guys by any stretch of the imagination. They're speedsters, they're burners, right?
180
exactly. No one's spending a first round draft pick on that. All right, if they spend in a first round draft pick on a wide receiver, he needs to be bona fide. You talking 6'1", 6'1", we're talking Jefferson type caliber type player. You see what I'm saying? And he went in the second round. You see what I'm saying?
The thing went second round,
yeah. Facts. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, and there's cats that are in, you know, they just think because, oh, we see Olave tearing it up at Ohio State. Well, there's wide receivers that you ain't even heard of, like the young man out there at Nevada who's damn near approaching 2,000 receiving yards.
It's not even, 20 I don't touchdowns. Even think it's, I don't even think it's that they just see Olave tearing it up, right? I think it's just we got Justin Bears fans have, and we've been sold this bill of good from Matt Nagy, right? The Kansas City offense. We're going to create the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, you ain't going to recreate right? Ohio State.
Now you got Ohio State and you got Justin Fields. So now it's automatic. Let's get Ryan Day. Let's get Chris Olave. Let's create Ohio State again. Mm-mm. Bro, stop. That's not going to work. You're not going to clone. You're not going to clone another team or an organization or a program. You got to build it from the ground up.
Preach.
Facts.
It ain't hard, man. I mean, for people to understand that, I don't understand how you don't understand that is my question. How do you not understand that? You cannot clone these teams, man. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can copy some things. Yeah. You can copy a play here and there, but to just recreate the whole freaking team, it ain't going to work like that.
Tony, I listened to Tony. I forgot who Tony Dungy. I think it was Under Center. I think it was Davis. Kenneth Davis. I think it was Kenneth Davis. Yeah, Kenneth Davis. Shout out to Kenneth Davis. He did an interview with the great Tony Dungy. And Tony Dungy, he said this, and we've been saying this a while. You have to have an organizational identity. The Steelers have an identity, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Bear fans, we get confused. Like, we got a quarterback. We got to be Kansas City. No, you don't. Your identity as the Chicago Bears can still be defense.
Yep.
Running the ball. Oh, but now you got a great quarterback. Because you can still pass the ball with a great quarterback. Run the ball with a great quarterback. But you have to have an organizational identity. We are the Chicago Bears. We play defense. We run the ball. We just so happen to have a very talented quarterback. We don't need to try to be anybody else. That's what we do, bro.
Facts.
So get back to that.
And I think, and this is the honest to God truth, but y'all hear me out when I say this, but I think in honest to God truth, it's two people that I would like to see as the NFL president of football operations. With the Bears, number one, Tony Dungy, right? Yes. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he would be perfect for this job. Perfect. He doesn't meddle. He knows how to talk to people. He knows how to motivate men, and I think that he will put a very great general manager into that position, right? Number two, Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. That would be my other number two NFL president of operations that I would love to have in that position. Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning, those two individuals. Number one, they would know how to protect Justin Fields and put what he needs around him and surround him not only with talent offensively, but with talent defensively. Tony Dungy would. Number one, right? Putting the right general manager in place. Somebody who Tony knows that it would definitely draft right and get the job done. It'd probably be a new and up and coming cat, too, at that. Champ Kelly. But you know what I'm saying? it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's funny how the Bears have had Chris Ballard up and coming in the ranks. Let him go. How funny the Bears had Champ Kelly in the ranks and then let him go. It's funny how the Bears have all this talent.
Staley.
You know, they have all this talent, and then they miss out on them, and then they go and get the knockoff version of them. Sean Desai. They go and get the knockoff version of them that ain't nowhere near them, but they get the opportunity because we fucked up on the last guy and let him get out the door. So guess what? Now we gonna put your unqualified ass in this opportunity and just allow you to flounder and suck. Last night, you know, last night's defensive performance, remember who they said was going to be? That was a different type of defensive performance that we saw, right? You know who they said was supposed to be calling the game last night before Desai magically got healed? Was Mike Pettine. Tell me if that defense last night didn't remind you of the Green Bay defenses is when Mike Pettine was calling the shots out there in Green. It was so much eerily similar to that, in all honesty. Granted,
we had backups, bro.
We had backups, and they only held this man to 87 yards passing. Passing with backups. These the same, outside of Graham, these the same backups that was getting carved the fuck up the last 2-3 weeks. Now all of a sudden they only holding them to 87 yards passing. I don't give a damn that that's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins can let it go and he can let it fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was something that they were doing, and it was something different, but it didn't scream of Desai. All right. I think that was a Mike Pettine defense that was called last night. And things that were put in order.
I think they said Deshae Townsend has something to do with it too, right?
Possibly. I'm not certain on that. I didn't have any knowledge of that, but you may have more knowledge than me on that issue.
Okay.
Deshae Townsend?
Yeah, that's what I heard. He's a secondary coach, but you know, they said he had some input on some of the game plan.
Okay.
From what I heard. So I mean, I don't know how true that is, but you know, maybe not. I don't know.
I know just off the strength of that alone, it was pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Let's see if they can, you know, whatever. The thing is that, again, putting the people in play and having the right people in the right position. We understand that the organizational structure is fucked, right? And the culture needs to change. And I think they know the culture needs to change. They just need to get out the damn way. Not saying that they in the way blocking anything, but getting out of your own way is firing Matt Nagy when you know you're out of it. All right, okay, we have no use for you no more. We appreciate your efforts. Hey, but you got to go.
Go home and enjoy Christmas with your family.
Exactly. You got to go. We'll pay you. You know, you'll still get paid for the rest of the season. After this season, we don't have a contract with you anymore. So you can go about and be relieved of your duties. Ryan Pace, same thing. You know what I'm saying? Both y'all both came in together. Y'all both going to go out together. You know what I'm saying? Ryan, you brought him in.
GM.
Yeah. Ryan, you brought him in. Okay, it didn't work out. But hey, you know, but what pissed me off last night was hearing the voice of Lewis Riddick. and instead of being honest with the fans and saying that your boy just flat out suck, you want to sit up here. You don't do that. You don't sit up here and that's terrible organizational structure. That's terrible this, terrible that, and he deserves better than that. Does he?
Bro, man. After you go in, and then I know Dan.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish up.
My thing is, does he deserve better? Because what about us? What the fuck do we deserve? Do we deserve to watch that bullshit every Sunday? Do we deserve to seriously go through mental anguish and really have PTSD every time we see the fucking offense take the field? Or what about the fucking defense floundering around? This shit is worse. And say what people say what y'all want, but this shit is worse than the Trestman years. I'm dead ass.
I agree.
This is worse than the Trestman years.
I was like, he's worse than Trestman.
You're worse than Trestman. Like I put the poll up on Twitter yesterday. Unpopular opinion. It wasn't Trestman's motherfucking offense that was the issue, because his offenses were top 10 in the NFL. It was the defense. Okay? It was the defense. Crazy thing about it though is with the defense being as bad as it was, goddamn, this defense is just as bad. If the only difference is we didn't have back-to-back 50 burgers hung on us. That's it. That's the only difference. But this defense is bad. Okay, the defensive secondary is terrible. But for you know, Lewis Riddick to say what he said, and oh, Mustafa's been pretty solid for him during this season. What the fuck have you been watching? You serious, bro? Like, we get it that Nagy is your homeboy, dog, but damn. Mustafa's been pretty solid. That's when I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't want him for our general manager at all, ever. And it's a reason. People always want to say, well, I don't understand why Lewis Riddick doesn't get any looks. I don't understand why he's not getting hired. Well, after last night, I see why. And this is known throughout the NFL, okay? They like, yeah, that motherfucker don't know what he's doing. Because if he did, he'd have a job. He wouldn't be on ESPN talking. He wouldn't be on Monday Night Football, you know, breaking down games. Okay, that's cool. He knows the game, but he don't know what the fuck he's doing at this level. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. And it showed evident last night. You want to take up for your boy? I get it, man. I get it. That's your dog. But you also got to be real with your dog, too. Like, dog, you fucking suck. Like, bad. You really stink. You know what I'm saying? You've been stinking it up, man. You have five quarterbacks and ain't none of them succeed in your system.
Right.
And Alex Smith don't count because that was all Andy Reid. Alex Smith was a coach himself. And, yeah, he didn't even know offense.
Exactly.
Facts.
And how many games did he – I mean, you know, come on.
Facts.
So, you know, what Lewis Riddick did yesterday, it basically solidified what I thought before. And you know, when the whole situation came about where the report was – it was reported that a – this may be Nagy's last week. It's a short week, but after this Detroit game, he's going to be let go, right? That's the news that came out. Now, when it happened and when all this other stuff started leaking, right? When that leaked and other stuff started leaking that night, I tweeted, and you can go back and look at it. I said, I know who leaked it. I know who leaked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Bears organization that leaked it. Matt Nagy leaked it.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy leaked it. Mm-hmm. And it was to make the organization look bad. It was to cast them into a bad shadow, right? For future candidates and say, hey, George McCaskey's got his hands involved. He's dictating when Justin Fields should start. All these things came out. And all you gotta do is look at the timeline of when it happened. Mm-hmm. When it happened, Matt Nagy went to the team and said, hey, I haven't had no discussions with him, blah, blah, blah. Then he comes back. He has a discussion with the ownership group, right? Then he goes back to the team. Yes, I had a discussion with the ownership group. This all happens in the same day. I had a discussion with the ownership group. And, you know, at this point, we just got to, you know, changes could happen at any time. And we just plugging along, blah, blah, blah. Players asking questions. Mm-hmm. There were reports that several players were frustrated with Nagy's responses. Then he ends everything. Okay, I'm gone. And he leaves out the room. Not only does he leave, but he cuts all communication with everybody. And even his coaching staff that he was doing game planning with, he canceled all those meetings for the rest of the night. And then that same night, nobody knows where Nagy is, but that same night, all of a sudden, 8:30, all these leaks start happening.
Yes, sir.
Now you tell me he didn't go to some media member and say, hey, let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you this. And now you cast Chicago, the whole organization, George McCaskey, everybody in this bad shadow. And then they backtrack because they got nervous, because they start getting some blowback from it. Oh, you're going to fire him right around Thanksgiving. That's messed up. You know, why would you do this? Why would you tell him he's going to be fired? But, you know, all of this stuff to make it look like a dysfunctional organization, which they are dysfunctional. I'm not, you know, but he went above and beyond to you know, do that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people said, you know, Dan, what are you talking about, bro? Like, why would Nagy do that? Because no coach wants to be fired during the season. That's a bad look, bro, for your next job, for whatever that might be, quarterback, coach, offensive coordinator, whatever. You got fired, and they told you to leave during the season. We're better without you right now.
Facts.
He don't want that to happen, so he want to finish out the season. Mm-hmm. He wants, if anything turns around, it's because of me. I was still there for that when it turned around. If he got fired 3 or 4 games ago, right, and things turned around a little bit and they start looking a little bit better, oh man, that's a bigger indictment on Nagy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So of course he would leak the situation. And when Louis Riddick went on ESPN during that telecast yesterday and caped up for Matt Nagy, put his Superman, you know, bust out, you know, with his Superman cape on and said, you know, he deserves better than that. That's not how you're supposed to let somebody go, blah, 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 blah.
He said it's passionately, same, too.
Bro, you can tell that's – who is that from? That's from Matt Nagy, straight up.
We established a long time ago because they came up together for Philadelphia that I always said this, when Louis Riddick speaks about the Chicago Bears, listen, because he is basically talking for Matt Nagy. And it was all good when we were winning.
Facts.
And we were a hot team. But you see how it switched once it, and see what he's doing? He's defending Matt Nagy. Before it was like, oh, he likes the Bears. No, 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 no. It's not that he likes the Bears. He likes Matt Nagy.
He likes Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy is his boy. And now we're starting to see everything with Matt Nagy. Now that Matt Nagy's as, and you're right, Dan. You don't want him. He didn't want to get fired in season because people say, well, next year you can bring in the coach. No, they're going to turn over this roster. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be the same team. If this same exact team, went on a 3-4 game winning streak and Matt Nagy's fired, it makes him look like crap.
And he was on a 5-game losing streak at the time when that stuff was being leaked. Man, that's a terrible look, bro.
Yeah, it's a terrible look. And you see they look better when they played the 49ers when he was out.
Right.
Justin Fields, that was his, like, first kind of game where he was like, oh, okay, this guy might be able to do something.
Right, right.
And talking about dysfunction, I want to talk about this this Tevin Jenkins thing, man, and Jermaine Ifedi, dude.
Hey, before you move on, can I say one more thing about Matt
Nagy? Yeah, go ahead.
And I was actually listening to a podcast earlier, and I got this thought because I was listening to that podcast. So shout out to Kelly Wilson on her podcast, the Fit Fizz podcast. She talked about nutrition and all of that. But she said something, and it made a whole lot of sense to me because she was talking about, like, growing pains, right? So when a kid is growing, your bones actually ache because you're growing. That's growing pains, right? Mm-hmm. And she said in there that personal growth can be painful, right? But she said in that podcast, she made a statement and it said, if you stay in your comfort zone for too long, it will eventually be more painful than the personal growth pains that you could have by growing as a person. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, man, ain't that true? You can really, you know, look at Matt Nagy and say the same thing. He was so stuck in his ways. His comfort zone was calling it my way, calling the plays I want to call, making people fit my system instead of adapting, instead of growing as a play caller and as an offensive scheme. Instead of growing, he wanted to stay in his comfort zone. And now, when I watch a game, when you watch a game, Will, when DeVore watches a game, when all these Bears fans watch a game, what is it for us? Painful. It's more painful than the growth that he could have had. Mm-hmm. Instead of adapting and growing, it would have been painful learning a new system and learning new ways of going about his coaching routine. But that would have been painful. But this is more painful to watch. We're in pain every single week watching this pathetic offensive showing. Yeah. Week after week after week, bro.
We're a joke, dude. People are, like, making fun of us, dude. You know what I mean? Like, the Packers game, usually I'm all hyped and talking shit to Packers fans. I didn't even do that this year, dude. I was like, why? They'd be like, oh, they you know, a few of them that I'm cool with coming at me. And I'm like, yeah, y'all going to win, bro. Like, I didn't even have a fight.
They don't even talk trash to us.
A lot of them, they don't.
They feel bad for us.
Yeah, because it's not a rivalry. A rivalry has to be a back and forth, bro. It's not a one-way ass kicking. You know, they've kicked our ass. Like, the Lovey, it was a back and forth.
It was back and forth.
Between Lovey and Favre. Right. It ain't no back and forth. We're just getting wrecked. So it's like, what fun is that? It's like the Bulls and the Pistons, right? They used to be our rivals, but guess what? They can't beat us, so we just – it's not even a rivalry.
Yeah, no, like Brandon Marshall said. What Brandon Marshall – Detroit is like little brother to us.
Yeah.
The Lions, right? Remember when he said that? He's like, Detroit's like little brother. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Same thing with us, with the Lions. We don't take a Lion seriously.
Exactly.
We don't even hunt them down and talk crap about them because I'm like, you guys can't beat us. You guys have never beaten us in your history. Except when you had, like, Sue for, like, 3 years. You're like, that's the only time you beat us when we had, you know. Yeah, but just to organizational identity, dude. Tevin Jenkins, man. I love Tevin Jenkins before, you know, even when he got hurt. Even with his, you know, he having his rookie groin pains, dude. We talked about groin pains.
Right.
Well, Justin Fields didn't really get late hit, but it was an unnecessary hit. Tevin Jenkins took exception to that. The only other lineman I saw do that was Jason Peters before he got hurt. So he goes over. He didn't even say anything. He didn't even do anything. He got in a bunch of the Vikings defenders. He was by himself, solo dolo. Ran up on like five dudes. Like, don't be touching my quarterback like that. Somebody sucker punched him. He punched back. The only lineman I seen run to his defense was Cody Whitehair. You know, and then Jermaine Ofetti grabbed him and punched him in the chest, trying to play big brother, telling him to chill out, bro. Like, when, bro, that's the only time you actually did a punch. Punched another defender in their chest pads when you punched Tevin Jenkins chest pad.
It's like he went over there and pulled a day-day. You're going to get me in trouble. Stop. I got to play here. You don't. You're going to get me in trouble. Punk ass. I got to play against them. You don't. Punk ass. Like, I know you not, dude. For real.
They should have cut his ass right after that game, bro. They should have benched him that game. Just put in Elijah Wilkerson, dude. Like, you get off. Get off. Man. You going home. And when we leave here, just leave, bro. We'll play the championship.
It was disgusting. It
was, man.
I applaud Tevin Jenkins for what he did. Flat out. Because he was the only one that had the nuts to go over there and stand up when the other pussies wanted to sit down. And I think
Whitehair came to his defense too. Whitehair right. came over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's
and
why I said he
Tevin.
Came. And James Daniels was helping out Justin Fields.
Exactly.
So I was like, the rest of y'all.
Ofetti though? Come on, bro. Come on, man. I mean,
And I like Justin. Did you hear what Justin said?
Yeah.
He said he liked what Tevin did. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like shit. Stand up for me, goddammit. Shit.
I'm over here getting suplexed and hit late.
Getting Daz Newsomed and shit. I'm over here getting Daz Newsomed and shit. And for those who don't know what we talking about, Daz Newsome got ragdolled so bad.
I'm gonna tweet that out too, so that everybody can see.
Check it out on Dan's page. He's gonna go ahead and tweet it out on his Twitter page. Daz Newsome got ragdolled like you would do your small child when you trying to get them to, like when they trying to scramble and run out of the bed. You just get them and toss their ass back in the bed. Don't no grown man get handled like that,
bro.
Man.
It was like an afterthought too. He didn't even like put much. They just tossed each little ass.
It was like, damn. Like he threw him hard too. Like shit, I know Daz was like, damn, this ain't North Carolina no more.
It's an ACC, bro.
Like damn, he
playing NCC.
Bro, how strong are these men to be doing this, bro?
Yeah, man.
To be throwing another man like a toddler. Like get the fuck out of here.
He didn't throw him. He pitched that Joker. He pitched him like 5 yards. Oh, you know what I mean?
Damn.
He was tumbling.
Yo,
it's like the joint that Will used to always post, man. The Joker where he got knocked
out.
Yeah,
he go sliding and go rolling. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo!
Like,
dude,
damn.
Daz Newsome ain't in like a he ain't Demir Bird, right? But he ain't Brandon Marshall. But
right.
My man is 5'11", 190 pounds. He's a decent sized human being.
Sad, man. Like, damn. He just got ragdolled. My man, just get your ass out of here, little motherfucker.
He basically took a 6-foot, 200-pound human being and just chucked him like a bag of potatoes, bro.
Straight up.
Like a duffel bag.
Like,
get the fuck out of here.
Your money, little duffel bag, boy.
Right. He just tossed him out the way, man. Like, damn, bro. That's sad. But Ofetti, you weak. Like, for real, dude. You need to go to the wizard, man, and go get you some heart. And you need to go to the wizard and get you some heart and some courage. You need two. You need a double dose of two. Punk ass.
Oh man. And that was Tevin Jenkins, that wasn't the only one. He tossed a bar.
Yeah.
Was it bar? Yeah, he tossed bar. It just hit him. He tossed a couple of cats, man. I was like, we told y'all, man. I was like, hey, man, this cat right here might be legit.
Now he's a rookie, you know. And shout out to Lester Wiltfong from Windy City Gridiron. He had a thread on that showing a Fetty. He played offensive lineman thing in college and high school, so he knows what the hell he's talking about. I take a lot of, like, I listen to him when he's talking about online. So I like Tevin Jenkins, man. We might have something with old Tev, man. I like his attitude, and that's what we're talking about. That's the culture you need. You need that type of culture, dude. You know, you need a guy who's a dog. Shout out to Thomas Graham Jr. too, man. We gonna get on this part about the evaluation of the players. Oh, yeah. Horsted has more touchdowns than Cole Kmet. He has 6 total touchdowns in his career. He only played about 13 games in his career. Yeah. Why isn't he getting more tick? Why isn't Thomas Graham playing? And this guy's coming to the game, like, he looks like people. Well, I don't know if it's one game. You can tell when a guy can play football.
What's Horsted got? I think he got like 5 snaps all season, right?
Something like that. And he got 2 touchdowns. That.
Yeah.
You got 2 touchdowns.
It's a poor poor talent evaluating by this coaching staff in a whole, which is an indictment on how the season has went time and time and time again. It's a negligence to coaching. Not only is it a negligence to coaching, but it's also an indictment of Nagy and his staff, and how Nagy is the end all be all and doesn't want to make any adjustments or changes.
Yeah, we've said it before, bro. This is nothing new to the Kings, bro. We've said and we've used this term to describe Nagy: dereliction of duty. It means a gross negligence in what you're doing in your job performance. That's what he's doing. There's a dereliction of duty. He's not carrying out his responsibilities to the best of his ability. Not only that, you got a guy who's clearly able to make some plays. You played him 5 snaps. But the problem that I have with it is that you carried 5 tight ends on this team into the season. You carried 5 tight ends on the active roster into the season. On the 53-man roster, 5 tight ends made it. And you played one of them 5 snaps. Jesse James is hardly out there. J.P. Holtz is, I don't know when the last time I seen him out there. Maybe special teams. And then you got Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. And a lot of people are down on Cole Kmet. A lot of people are. Rightfully so, he's made some mistakes. But I'm just going to tell you, you flip Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham's basically their roles this season, right? Jimmy Graham was the starter. Cole Kmet was the second tight end, right, last year. Now you got Cole Kmet and you got Jimmy Graham. The only difference is the touchdowns. Go look at their numbers. Around 400 yards right now, 49 catches for Cole Kmet. Same thing for Jimmy Graham last year. But the difference is Cole Kmet still got 3 games. So there's improvement that I see. Now, a lot of people want to see it faster, but I see improvement from Cole Kmet. That's just my opinion, though.
My honest, you know what I mean? True based opinion on Cole Kmet. We won't know what he looked like until we get a real offensive coordinator.
That's true.
We won't know what he looked like until we get a real OC. We won't know what Justin Fields will look like until we get a real OC.
And somebody that can develop talent.
And a real philosophy. You know, somebody who can develop a
which
real
we've
philosophy.
Never had. Yeah.
We don't know what we have, you know, which leads me to, again, a philosophical change, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball. We're not going to have the horses to run a 3-4 no more, folks. I'm sorry. I truly believe the Bears are going to get rid of Eddie Goldman at season's end. They're going to get rid of Akeem Hicks at season's end. You know, that's 2 anchors right there amongst that D-line that's gone. Okay. Not only that, but and this is where I go where everybody thinks that Ned slanders Roquan Smith. No, I don't. I'm telling you what I see. Okay. Again, I'm not a blind fan who, you know, so caught up in fandom. And exactly, just like I brought people in. I'm like, look, if y'all want to come into the spaces, I'll tell you exactly what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is Roquan makes splash plays the beginning of the game, roughly probably about the first 3 possessions, right? Roquan is making tackles for losses, and he's coming up and making big sticks and everything like that after the first 3 possessions. And then you got to put an APB on him the rest of the game. You want to know why? Because, number one, when offenses see that, They know, okay, this is what make the Bears go. He gets them excited. He psychs them up. He gets them going. So guess what we about to do? Run at his ass. Run dead at him. I'm going to pull my guard, and I'm going to run right at you. And I'm going to let my guard beat you up for three quarters. And he's going to wash you down the field, and he's going to wear on you. And then by that time, come second half, Roquan's so damn tired from fighting off these damn offensive linemen because we don't have the horses up front to plug that middle to keep them offensive linemen off of him and to allow him to roam and do what he does. But, hey, he gets tackles, right? Yeah, but the majority of Roquan's tackles are downfield, not behind the line of scrimmage. I understand. But he leads the league in tackles for loss. He has like 9 right now. Great. I mean, shit. Roquan, like I just told you, every game, when the game starts on defense, Roquan uses his speed and his abilities to go ahead and make a splash play in the beginning of the game. And then you don't hear from him the rest of the three quarters. You have to put an APB out. And he's getting washed 15, 20 yards down the field by big-ass offensive linemen. Because you want to know why, folks? Roquan is the size. Are you okay, let this sink in for a minute. What's the size of Justin Fields? Justin Fields is 6'3", 200 and how many pounds?
30.
230, yeah.
Roquan is 6'228".
Yeah.
So our starting quarterback is bigger than our star, quote-unquote, middle linebacker. Bigger. Not by a little bit, by a margin. Okay? So if Justin Fields is getting fucked up by these big-ass linemen, D-linemen and shit, what do you think is going to happen to Roquan? You think his career is going to last long with him fighting off offensive linemen and whatnot? He just came off a torn pectoral last year. So in order to preserve him and to get him where he needs to be to where he can make more impact plays like the plays he make at the beginning of the first quarter, he need to be an outside linebacker. And that's not knocking him. But
he's specific because with that, because you're going to have people like, he's not an edge rusher. So tell him what kind of outside linebacker, because they don't know football.
Yeah, please.
So, exactly. So if you're looking at what kind of player that Roquan would be when you're saying he's not an edge rusher, he's not going to be. Because, again, if we move to a 4-3, you would have Khalil Mack as a defensive end in his natural position to where he just rushes the quarterback. He don't have to drop back in coverage. Okay, in a 4-3, Khalil Mack would just rush the passer. In a 4-3, Robert Quinn would just rush the passer.
I want you to specify that because these people don't know the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3.
Absolutely.
He's not an edge rusher. Like, no, bro.
Absolutely.
Wait a second. I thought we were running the 46.
Exactly.
They don't know the difference between a 4-3 linebacker and a 3-4 outside linebacker. I know that.
Exactly. I just wanted to, and that's facts. You know what I'm saying? So what people don't understand is if you're looking for a comp of what Roquan could be, think of Michael Parsons on steroids, okay? You see how and Michael Parsons is just a rookie, but he's so impactful on that defense. He's getting sacks. He's forcing interceptions. He's forcing fumbles. He's that big impact type of player, right? The same reason why they let came from Notre Dame and played for Dallas with the dreads. They just let go earlier this season. Jalen Smith. Same reason why they let Jalen Smith go is because of the emergence of Michael Parsons with him playing outside linebacker and being able to wreck a game.
He's playing a little bit of middle too.
Right, exactly. You see what I'm saying?
He's all over the place.
This is where I'm talking about impact plays, because people keep saying, well, Nez keeps saying impact plays. What does he mean by impact plays? Impact plays means that you are wrecking an offensive game plan and you are forcing them to switch it up to where they can't do what they're comfortable doing. So now they have to scrap that game plan and go with something else because you are causing nothing but havoc and you're wrecking what they're trying to do. That's what Micah Parsons is doing in Dallas, folks. Okay? Roquan Smith and Micah Parsons, damn near same speed. Same build. It's just Micah's a little bit bigger, but same build. There is no way you can tell me that if you move Roquan Smith to a Lance Briggs role, he wouldn't be more dominant. Right. To a Lance Briggs role, he wouldn't be more dominant than what he is now. Again, Roquan makes splash plays at the beginning of the game, but it's not for the entirety of the game. And then you'd be like, damn, was Roquan out there? You forget that he's out there come second half. I truly think in order to prolong his career, and this is why Roquan doesn't get the national recognition, even though the numbers are there. He doesn't get the national recognition because he don't make the splash plays at critical moments. Perfect example of that, Dan mentioned it, and it was so right on point yesterday with Robert Quinn. He gets a ton of sacks, but it ain't when you need him.
Yeah.
He gets a ton of sacks, but it's not when it's against, okay, perfect example, right? He gets a lot of sacks, but it's not against the Green Bays of the world where it's third and 15 or third and 17, and you need this. The momentum is going. The crowd is going crazy. You need a sack right here. You need a sack right now. Does Robert Quinn get it? No. He don't.
To get off the field when you when your defense is struggling and here it is third down, does he come through and make a sack in that situation?
Exactly.
Does he get a tackle for loss in that situation? That's what we're talking about. Impactful plays that change the momentum of drives of the game, whatever the case may be. Roquan is a space tackler, man.
He's a space eater.
There's a lot of space tacklers in the NFL. And you know, you can find those guys. You know what I mean? Like, you really can. But to be an impactful player, you know, the likes of that, you know, you look at what we've had in history. Brian Urlacher, Mike Singletary,
Dick Butkus.
These are guys who
Brian Cox
impacted the game.
That was during the shitty years.
You know what I mean? You know, major impact on the game. You know what I mean? They don't go missing for two or three quarters. You know what I'm saying? Where they're nowhere to be found. So that's the situation. That's what Roquan. Is it possible he's an undersized linebacker? Is it possible for him to play, you know, like maybe outside linebacker? You know, you look at Dallas. I think in Dallas, Micah Parsons plays more in the middle, but he does go outside and he edge rushes every now and then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he plays Mike linebacker. I think you know, looking at the numbers that he played in the last game, I think he was Mike linebacker, basically, like kind of like middle linebacker. Last week, I think it was like 67% of the time. He didn't really rush off the edge that much. But look at the other guy that you have there. Another reason Jalen Smith became expendable is because of the emergence of Keanu Neal in the role of a linebacker. Now, he was a converted safety. He was a strong safety.
Mm-hmm.
But he tore his ACL and he tore his Achilles tendon, so it took a little bit of his speed away, but he's still faster than most linebackers. But he's huge. He's 6'1", and he's like, you know, he's Roquan size at safety. So they said, okay, come down into the box. You can play linebacker. And he's making plays down there. It works. But you have to have – Desai is not that guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to have a guy
– that know what he's doing.
Actively thinks. And thinks of ways to put guys in
– which is going to lead me to something.
To make plays.
Which is going to lead me to something. Somebody – one of the few people that I like that possibly could be a head coach. Now, I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to scream bloody murder. But one guy I love is Todd Bowles. And the reason why, you go back to, I think it was 2014, he coached the Arizona Cardinals. They had a bunch of injuries.
Right.
Bunch of injuries. Tyrann Mathieu, all the linebackers. He still coached that team to a top five defense.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, look at the Bucs. Oh, the Bucs are talented. I'm like, well, he's done this before. And the reason why I like him, because he does that specifically. He coached 4-3 and 3-4. So basically, he looks at the team and sees what my team does do best, and I put them in the best position to.
And that's perfect, man. That's what I like.
That's what you need. You need to like, we've learned this with Nagy. You come in with a system, and I got this system, and if the system is the only thing that I can run. No, you need a coach that comes in and says, let me look at this team. What do my team does best? What is Roquan Smith? Because, like, the thing about Roquan, we're talking about Roquan, but, yeah, he puts up all these numbers because, you know what, he's still a damn good football player.
Right.
He might not be in the best position.
Facts.
Right.
Right?
But he's still a great football player. So your job as the coach to see that and say, man, what is the best position I could put this player in to optimize his talent to make this team better?
Exactly.
And right now, we're just putting whoever, and this is our system, this is how we run it, and this, you got to fit in our system. We need somebody smart enough, football smart enough, to adapt to what our players do best.
Yep.
Our players do best on offense and defense, dude.
Yep.
You know, exactly. It like no matter who we get, they need to be a leader, and they need to know how to identify talent and put that talent in the correct position, whether they're offensive or defensive coach, right?
Right.
They need to be able to put together a staff, right? A coaching staff. Because one thing I noticed about Nagy, and when I saw it, I kind of questioned it. But, you know, we're Bear fans, right? So we always going to see the glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to pick a defensive coaching staff, right? Because Vic Fangio was there.
Mm-hmm.
This man put together offensive coaching staff of coaches he's never coached with. So that tells me you have no connections. He had no connection. Harry Heistand, he had no connections.
Yep.
Ragone, he had no connections. Ragone was a leftover. So this guy came in and got hired as the head coach, and you got no one. You think Todd Bowles, if he comes in here with all this history in the NFL, he ain't going to have an entire – he probably already got a whole coaching staff if he ever gets hired that he's
ready to go.
Dude, you hired me. This is going to be my coaching staff.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yeah.
This is what kind of scheme I'm going to run. This is what position I'm going to put Roquan in. This is what position I'm going to put Khalil Mack. When people were throwing out coaching, like, you think to yourself, does this guy have a coaching staff of coaches and people that will follow him to this organization and help him lead this team? That's the first thing you need to ask yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you need to ask yourself. That's how you fix the Bears, right? That's how we fix it. A guy that's going to bring in a coaching head is not going to be like, I got a system and I'm going to put Justin in the system. No, he's going to be like, I'm going to see what Justin Field does best. Does he do this best? Does he do this best? Who do you like? I'm going to bring in the personnel that fit that system. We're going to run it. We're going to have an identity. Nagy, we're in year four, bro, and he's still over. So we're still trying to find our identity. You're the coach.
What?
You don't know your identity? Well, it takes to figure that out. First practice?
It's bad.
We're a running team because we damn sure can't throw.
It's bad.
You know? It's the same thing. I want to speak. I know it's a little bit old about Komet. I missed that part, you know. The thing about Komet, this is my thing with Komet. When we drafted him, you can go back and check my tweets. I said, hey, he reminds me of Kyle Rudolph. Solid, good tight end, right? He probably ain't never going to be Kelsey. I can't put limitations on a man and say what he is and what he ain't going to be.
Right.
I'm not going to do that, but when he got drafted, I saw him as a more of a Kyle Rudolph kind of guy. And he's putting up those numbers, like you said, but we're not going to know who he is until we get a real coach. But I said he's going to have 50 catches. People told me I was crazy. I'm like, 50 catches is not enough, dude. I'm not a lot. I mean, he's a solid tight end. He can block.
He got 49 right now. 49 catches for 490 yards.
Yeah, he's probably going to end up with like 60 or something. You know, hopefully he catches some touchdowns. But nobody on this team is catching touchdowns, bro. Like,
at all.
How many Allen Robinson got? One?
Fuck him.
How many does Darnell Mooney have?
Two, maybe. You know?
Allen Robinson.
Who the fuck is that?
Facts.
He might not come back, especially after Chris Godwin tore his ACL.
He can keep his bitch ass all the way back and get the fuck on, for real.
That's another thing.
You know what? If he think he going to get a payday somewhere.
He going to get something.
Some team going to pay him.
Somebody going to pay him.
He's not going to get what he want.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Yeah, and he going to go there and bitch and complain about old High School Musical at quarterback and shit.
Mm-hmm. But that's what he does. We already know what he's going to do. He's going to get his last payday. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll play with Zach Wilson as soon as he, you know, don't get his numbers or, you know, they ain't winning.
This is I'm going to just put this in perspective for people who bang on Cole Komet. He got 49 catches. Our leading receiver has 57. That's Darnell Mooney.
Mm.
Mooney only got 3 touchdowns. So 8 more catches on the season. But we dog him, but we praise Mooney. You see what I'm saying? To me, you know, there's a balance, man. I like I'm with Will. I'm with Roy. You and I'm with you, Devore. You said it as well. You really can't you can't evaluate these guys, you know, in good conscience, knowing that they've been in this system with Matt Nagy,
right,
calling the plays and making the decisions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you don't, I mean, and like you said, we talked about his coaching staff. Man, look at the coaching staff. Who have they developed? Wide receivers. That wide receiver coach, we make fun of him, you know, roided out Joker Fury or Furry or whatever his name is. You know what I mean? We make fun of him, but
with the expanded head.
What's he done? What's he done for the Bears, bro?
Beef, like, roids.
Honestly, what's he done for the squad? Not a thing. You know? So, you know, when we're talking about the development of these young players, Cole Kmet's 22 years old, man. All I'm saying is I need to see him in a competent offense before I write him off as a bust.
And that's the thing, the development of the wide receiver, right? If you're going to have somebody there, it has to be a damn good coach. The development of the wide receiver, right? Fury, I remember that individual when he was doing his thing at Saginaw Valley State, Grand Valley, Saginaw Valley. And he wasn't that good to begin with. He was a fucking practice squad wide receiver, right? Not saying that just because you sucked as a player don't mean you'll suck as a coach, but what the fuck does he actually have to teach them? Because name me a wide receiver that's gotten better under him or has developed under him. They don't fight for the ball. Mm-mm. They run piss poor routes. The only one that could possibly get a release off the line was Allen Robinson, but he's slow as fucking molasses. As watching, he's about as fast as watching paint dry. And that's the honest to God truth. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a fucking tweet or I'll probably get a message in my DMs from B. Parker. Man, what's up with all the hate, man? The fuck out my DMs, B. I ain't trying to hear that shit today. I'm not. I'm really not. Man, I thought we was brothers.
I thought we were brothers, man.
Fuck all that. Straight up.
Man, we supposed to be brothers.
Right. Like, duh, I ain't trying to hear that shit. So it ain't, you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. It's just, okay, so how do you expect a motherfucker who wasn't shit to develop? He wasn't shit when he played. So how can he develop them to be any fucking thing? Lay off the fucking beef roids and start coaching, man. Motherfuckers on the Anabol and Wistrom V and shit.
Clear.
Your fucking hat size, you didn't gain about 3 hat sizes since you've been our goddamn wide receivers coach.
It's flaxseed oil, man. That's all it is.
God damn.
Well, hey, Rossi, I was taking Bali, something like that.
What is it? Oh, Anabol? I don't have that. Get rid of it, honey. Get rid of it. Motherfucker about to say, he about the color of a goddamn purple grape in the motherfucking summertime and shit. He about the color is burgundy leather in the goddamn summertime with a bald head looking like a roided out Nagy. Like, come on, dog. Who has gotten better under your watch?
No one. Regression.
They regress.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like, especially on offense, man, if you see these young guys and they showing any type of promise, and then you like try to find like guys finding any reason, like I think we passed the point of doing that because we know this offensive coaching staff is trash, dude. Like, stand by on everything. Mm-hmm. You know it's trash. Like the plays they run, like it was the one play. Justin Fields did the hand fake and there was no running back in the backfield. Like, we've seen this before. Nick Foles, and it wasn't like he was just because it was him. Nick Foles did the same thing.
Yeah.
He had to go hand the ball off and nobody was there.
Right.
So it's so much dysfunction, dude. Like chill out on these guys, bro. Like,
this is like I said, a lot of it, you can tell that these players are thinking too much. They're thinking too much. It's too much stuff going through their heads. And you got to also realize too, what is he telling them? What is he telling them? What, you know what I mean? What is he preaching? What's his coaching staff preaching? Because the guys look confused, bro. They look confused. They look lost out there. You know what I mean? And it's not because they don't know what's going on. is that they're trying to play perfect. You can't play football perfect. You got to go out there and you got to be able to think on, and we talked about this in spaces yesterday. You got to be instinctful when you're playing football. A lot of it is instincts, talent. You know what I mean? There's a mental side to the game, of course, but a lot of it is instincts, bro, especially at that quarterback position. You got to be able to feel the pressure. You got to be able to feel this, feel that. And if you're going through the motions, counting your steps, you know what I mean? Let me look, you know, it's just, you could tell he's thinking way too much. Everybody, the whole entire offense.
Mm-hmm. And it still sucks. Matt Nagy has the hardest offense to learn, and it sucks.
Straight up.
Offense to look like trash. Like, I've never seen this. Like, it's like assembling a Pinto.
Like you said.
It's like 1,000 parts you put it together, and it's a shit car, bro. Like, what the hell is this?
Who is that that said it? I think you
his
said
offense
it
is like IKEA furniture.
Yeah, and it sucks. And then you sit on it and it just falls apart.
The shit be rickety and rickety and weak within a week.
Didn't you tweet it last week? You tweeted that the offense was averaging, what, 170 some odd yards passing? And in 1940, Sid Luckman averaged 180 something.
Yeah.
So he was actually like 11 or 12 yards better.
But we went back. We worse than leather helmet offense, bro. Like, leather helmet. Get this dude out of here, man. Just get him out of here, man. Like, other than that, man, I think we covered everything. Just get his ass out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
I will play that every day, like, long as he around.
Get the fuck out of here.
Nothing else needs to be said, man.
Bad, man.
Other than his offense.
That music is garbage.
His philosophy is ass. Fuck him. Trash ass tweet of the week.
Man, trash tweet of the week. It's so many of them, man. It's pretty much everybody who are out here criticizing Justin Fields when he's being put in this position with the track record of Matt Nagy. Because it's one or the other. Either Matt Nagy just sucks or Justin Fields is just horrible. Like, it's Matt Nagy. I think we've seen enough, bro. It's him. You're the why, bro. So anybody that tweets anything, like, we seen, like, somebody posted something. We went through 8 years of Jay Cutler. We sat through 4 years of Mr. Trubisky. And dudes are ready to throw in Justin Fields after 10 games with this coaching staff. And it's all – dude, Damir Bird was his wide receiver too, bro. I think I tweeted, I said, if Damir Bird is your wide receiver too, you down bad.
Matt Nagy, you deserve a big box of
– the booty! Oh!
Because you was straight up booty. The bootiest of the booty.
So I was trash tweets of the week, man. It was so many of them. I just straight start blocking people. I was like, you're too stupid. I don't even want to see you on my timeline.
Yeah,
you
man.
That dumb.
Yeah.
You that dumb. I don't even value your opinion. Your intelligence is too low.
To straight
me,
up.
You can hear your opinion.
It's bad. And, you know, the trash tweet of the week, I'm not even going to say the clown's name, but he posted a thing, you know, Justin Fields fumbled the ball. Oh, there goes another fumble. And he had the JFC.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you know what I mean?
I'm blocking
Kentucky that. Fried Chicken picture or whatever. And it's like, dog, I know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's unnecessary stuff right there, man. You know what I mean? That's unnecessary.
Justin,
and then you got it. You got it. You said what?
He don't even eat meat.
Eat meat.
He's vegan. He's oh, vegan. Idiot, man. So he posts that, and I posted something, and then a dude comes in to my mentions talking about, you know, oh, yeah, here you go race baiting again. I'm like, dog, like, obviously, I didn't say nothing about the racial component of it. I just said this was a bogus tweet.
Guilty right? conscience, man. So, I'd have been like, guilty conscience.
So when you come out here and you say, oh, I'm race baiting, obviously, it was clear to see because you saw it, you know. So you know, whatever, bro. Like these people, man, got some issues. They got major issues. And they need to help. They need to help themselves, man, for real.
Well, you know how the race relations is in the city of Chicago, man, and those who are affiliated with Chicago. It, you know, outside of Chicago, Illinois, dog, Illinois in a hole, and Chicago in a hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all know what Chicago's it is.
Yeah, Chicago's segregated. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's segregated. It's a segregated as fuck city.
Yeah.
You know, ain't no melting pot. It's okay, y'all got y'all own little spot here.
Right.
You know, uptown.
I don't care, bro. Like, they got their little spot. It ain't race baiting. We don't do race baiting. It ain't for clicks. It ain't for none of that.
Just telling it like it is.
I'm gonna call out stupid stuff when I see it. Mm-hmm. Like stuff that offends me, I'm gonna call it out. If you want to call it out, then you can too. It ain't. I'm not in your mentions talking about something that you said. But at the end of the day, that was a bogus tweet, and I put it out there as a bogus tweet. It is what it is.
And my thing is this, for those that are listening. If you don't agree, you don't have to comment, right?
Exactly.
Just scroll, okay?
Yeah.
As if I give a fuck about how you feel about what I said.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
Right.
What difference do it make? Oh, man, this is a trash tweet. This is a trash take. All right. Well, that's your opinion.
Was I race baiting when I wanted Mitch Trubisky to do well? I wasn't race baiting then. But now that I want Justin Fields to do well, I'm race baiting.
Man, you know what it is, bro.
It's a bunch of miserable people out here, man. I'm telling you, dude. Because like you said, Devore, I see stuff and I don't like it. I just keep scrolling.
Yeah, like, all right, whatever.
I don't feel the need to hop in everybody's mentions and like
I gotta be heard about this one. He's got an answer to me. Like,
I just be like, oh, fuck, I don't agree with that. And I just keep scrolling. Oh, right. I don't agree with that. Oh, I like that one.
Those who feel a certain type of way about my tweets, about the King's tweets, about my tweets, kiss my ass with your tongue out, because I don't give a fuck. And I'm going to tell you straight up, kiss my motherfucking ass with your tongue out. I could care less.
I don't know why
they're always going to call it out.
I don't know why they get butt hurt so bad. I don't get it, man. But
one thing I wanted to mention. We talk about spaces, right? We got to mention the dude that got kicked out, right?
Dumbass of the week.
Go ahead.
What the fuck was his name? What was the young man's name, bro?
I forgot the cat's name, bro.
I forgot his name. Some little goofy.
Little idiot, though.
Some little goofy.
I mean, he was just in there talking crazy, right? And so I asked.
He sounded like JID the rapper. Literally, when he talked, he sounded like JID the rapper. Like, you could tell he was a little young punk. You know what I'm saying? Little young snot nosed punk. You know what Otis say? Little young punk.
Right, right.
Little young punk. But he was in there talking reckless.
He asked
Dan a question. I just quit talking to him. But he asked Dan a question. He said, "So this what is it? Over, do you bro. Rather?" See the Bears make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. And it got quiet for a minute because people was like, yo, did you really ask that question? Like, put the edibles down, little nigga, because you clearly talking out your ass right now. You must be high and down to the bottom of them gummies.
Why would you ask me a stupid question like that, bro? Why would you ask me a stupid? Matter of fact, let me ask you a question. How long have you been stupid? Your whole life or for the last 20 minutes?
Duh, that shit was funny as hell.
And then he started talking. I was like, peace out, and kicked him out.
He was like, peace out, bitch. Click. Threw him right out the fucking spaces, man. It was classic. Classic. Peace out, bitch.
Oh, I'm mad I missed it.
Oh, man. That shit had me in tears. Because everybody in there was dying fucking laughing. It was hilarious. Like, duh, really now? Come on, bro.
I ain't never kicked nobody out yet, man. And that was the first time. I mean, he deserved it. He deserved it.
Hey, some of them be down at the bottom of the case of the 24-ounce pack of Miller Lite.
Oh, they came in there yesterday.
Oh, man, they was in there yesterday, man. It was going down. For those who were not in a part of the spaces, you missed a gym last night. Y'all should have been a part of it.
I was,
should have been a part of it because it went down in there last night. And we would love to have more ladies interact in spaces.
Yeah,
straight up. There's so many of y'all. We value y'all ladies' opinions, okay? We don't want to just hear from the hard legs all the time. Ladies, jump into the spaces and get down with us. I'm telling you, we like to hear y'all voice y'all opinions. Straight up. Straight up.
What's my man's name? At Dirtbag Donnie?
Yeah, Dirtbag Donnie. I mean, some of these names. Go ahead, Dirtbag.
That's what I said. Hey. I knew Dirtbag was drunk. I was like, go ahead, Dirtbag. You got the mic. Go ahead. I knew he was drunk.
They had me laughing all night. I stayed up to damn near 2 o'clock in the morning listening to these cats dying laughing, man. Dying laughing. It was a good time last night.
Yeah,
we got to do more of it. We got to do more of it. But it was fun as hell last night. Yeah, definitely fun.
Yeah, space is always fun. Yeah, these dudes be... Hello.
Yeah.
Drunk, dude. They be on that old style.
Man.
Yeah, that old style.
Straight up.
Maddie
old
Ice.
Style and OE. Old Maddie style Ice. And OE Ice. With the 8-ball.
With the 8-ball.
Like, damn. That shit is funny.
That one dude started talking. DeVore sent me a text message. He said, man, these niggas is drunk.
Yeah. I'm like, duh, these niggas is drunk. Oh, hey. Duh. When somebody in there said Tariq, what they say? They said Tariq Cohen could go and start on any NFL team or some wild shit like that. I said, duh, y'all drunk as hell.
He can't even walk without a limp right now. Whatever.
I'm like, bro, y'all drunk. Y'all tripping. Come on now. Come on now.
Shout out to the spaces, man.
Shout out to everybody that show up, man. Show up and support us in spaces. We appreciate y'all, man. It's fun, man. We get to talk, have a good time, man. We try not to be disrespectful. We try to be cool.
But you get in there talking that crazy shit, you best believe you're going to get thrown the fuck up out of here.
Oh, you definitely going to get it, bro. That dude made me mad yesterday.
Little J.I.D.
Yeah, that joker made me mad.
I'm trying to find out, like, because you've been sounding dumb the last 20, 30 minutes. I mean, so what are you talking about? I mean, you know, because I am sitting here and I'm trying to figure out, like, what are you saying? Because you're trying to make it seem like what I said was dumb when what you said was really stupid, you know? So shut the fuck up.
Sound just like that, fool.
Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Please. Annoying ass little kid. Blow your fucking bird chest out, punk.
And the funny thing is, he ain't no little kid. I looked at his Twitter page yesterday. I was like, nah, this ain't no little kid. He can get that work.
I thought it was a child.
Yeah, he can get that work.
Damn,
that's
boy.
That's a grown man talking like that, bro.
And you know, because, you know, you sounded real stupid, you know, because what are you really saying? I mean, because... Like, damn, boy. Did you hit maturity? Did you hit puberty?
No, never did.
I don't know, because, you know, maybe I've skipped puberty, you know, because I sound like a 12-year-old little boy and, you know, and my nuts haven't dropped yet, you know, because. Shut up, punk. That shit was funny, though.
Probably high.
Yeah, it probably was.
The shit he was saying was high. He thought he was deep, too. Would you rather the Bears make the playoffs? Or make the Super Bowl.
Everybody was quiet.
It was serious. Like, motherfuckers was like,
you kidding me?
You for real? It just got quiet because he was like,
he thought that out.
What kind of dumb question is that? He was like, let me ask you this question. How long have you been dumb? How long have you been stupid? Cause that was a stupid question you just asked me.
It's so stupid, like you even think about it, it's just stupid on so many levels.
Yeah,
like I try.
He was at the bottom. Mm-hmm. He was at the bottom of the zip on that.
Yeah, he was.
He was down his last backwood on that one, bruh. Like you yes, tripping.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Fuck it. That's all I got.
That's all I got, man. Hopefully, we get Matt Nagy ass up out of here, man.
So
that's
weird.
All I got, man.
Make that's sure to tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, motherfuckers.
We out. Peace.
Y'all take it easy. Bear down, I guess. And fire Nagy.
Get him the fuck out of here.
Screw Nagy.